soul to soul, and spirit to spirit. Greetings from that spirit within you. In this book called Living Between Two Worlds, it says, there are two levels of consciousness. There is the spiritual, incorporeal level as described in the first chapter of Genesis. On this level, man created in the image and likeness of God shows forth neither sin, disease, death, lack, or limitation. Those born into the consciousness of the first chapter of Genesis have neither father nor mother. They are the Melchizedek consciousness. They are not physical offspring, and they have no human parentage. They are spiritual, incorporeal. But those born of human parents are born into the level of the second chapter of Genesis, the world of mind, the mortal consciousness of good and evil, which constitutes all of humanhood. It is this humanhood that makes us think that by destroying our enemy, we can live and prosper, or that by taking away someone's freedom, we can become greater. A leaven is necessary to break through the crust of self-preservation. This is the Spirit of God in man, which when it is raised up, lifts man to its level. And then, instead of man whose breath is in his nostrils, we now have the Son of God, that man who has his being in Christ. Now, that is just where we left off at the end of the last talk. Two levels of consciousness. One is the human level, and one is spirit, spiritual consciousness. Let us find out today. Let us today partake of the baptism of the Spirit. And we will do this together right now. Close your eyes with me. And let us do a little contemplating together as we move into meditation and into the silence. With our eyes closed, let us look at that creation of the second chapter of Genesis in which we have been living. In your humanhood, or in my humanhood, we'll put it in the first person so that we can all relate. In my humanhood, I was born to Mr. and Mrs. You put the name in. And I grew up in this house, learning this set of rules, and my environment was thus and so. I struggled with these problems. Perhaps I overcame them. This was the personality that was formed. And as I grew up, I was conditioned by my environment. I had so much schooling reached a certain level of education, moved out on my own, entered certain career or jobs, and here I am today. Perhaps I have a family of my own, and maybe it's raised, and maybe I'm raising it. But I am so many years old, so many feet tall, and my body weighs so many pounds. Perhaps I am suffering from this physical problem or that physical problem. I am limited by my education or maybe the neighborhood I live in. Perhaps I'm limited by my transportation or the opportunities in my city. And this is the human life of good and evil. Oh, it's not all negative. No, there are good experiences. Perhaps I achieve the promotion that I wanted, or I get to see my children accomplish something that I'm proud of. Perhaps I finally buy that piece of property or that house I've been longing for. I take that vacation I wanted. I get to see those foreign countries. No, there are good experiences as well as the limiting ones. And now I have maybe 10, 20, 30 years left. And then I will be moving on. And in 50 years to certainly in 100 years, no one will even remember that I ever existed. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. And that's pretty much the extent of humanhood, in which I have been living in the second chapter of Genesis, which is the mind. But wait, there is another creation, the first creation. What is that? Well, let us rest our human bodies, become as comfortable as we can. And let us rest our minds. And in as much as is possible, cease from a lot of thought taking. Take a deep breath. And still with the eyes closed, let's turn within, deeper than the mind creation. Down here, at the center of all being, behold all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, God is unlimited, and I am unlimited. God is infinite, and I am infinite. God is spiritual. I am spiritual. God is eternal. I am eternal. My life is eternal. Not by physical might is life lived, nor by mental power is life lived, but by my spirit. My life is spiritual. God is spirit. Therefore, I am spirit. Spirit is my name. I am unlimited, infinite. I have infinite abundance. I have all that the Father has. All that is necessary is that I rest here and receive the Spirit of God. God never had a beginning, and therefore I never had a beginning. God will never end. I will never end. Spiritual consciousness is what I am. God is my Father. I am the child of God. God individualized in expression. God is unlimited. I am unlimited. God is everywhere spiritually present. My life is everywhere spiritually present. I am made in the image and likeness of God. And because God is a spirit, I am a spirit. Receive your life as the Spirit of the Living God. And now know that God is omniscient. All wisdom is within you. God is omnipotent. All power is in your spirit, not by physical might, no, not by mental power, by spirit. Spirit is the resurrection, lifting you up into itself, into the conscious awareness of infinite spirit moving through you. This other life, this human life, was a dream. We got caught up into the hypnotism of the whole experience. But now we are awakening. Awakening to the movement of spirit, to the reality of spirit, to the allness of spirit. I live, yet not I. Spirit lives as me. And now I am unlimited, infinite, abundant, joyous. It is my Father's good pleasure to give me this spiritual consciousness as humanhood is made up of a belief in good and evil, so the kingdom of heaven is this spiritual consciousness. And spiritual consciousness goes before you to prepare a place for you. Spiritual consciousness lives and performs whatever is brought in front of you to do. In this quietness, in this inner resting, behold, I, your spiritual identity, will make all things new. I will make all things in the image and likeness of your Father. For I, your spiritual consciousness, and the Father are one. And now receive the baptism of spiritual consciousness as it floods through you, over you, around you, and as you. This Spirit is who you are. From now on, if a need comes to your attention, you only need to drop it. Turn within. Open the door of your consciousness to receive the Holy Spirit. That which you receive in secret shall be shouted from the housetops. That which you become aware of in your inner temple will express, will manifest in an infinite number of ways. That spirit within you, living itself as you, through you, lives itself as itself infinitely. And your awareness of it will appear to come to you through sources all over the world. But it is coming from your inner spiritual self and only appearing as many sources. So should you have a need, remember to turn within and receive the Holy Spirit. When Christ appeared in the upper chamber, this is what he said to the disciples: receive ye the Holy Spirit. And now Christ is saying the same thing to you. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. This then becomes your hidden manna. This is the pearl of great price that we do not cast before the uncomprehending human thought. Do you remember the woman at the well. Do you remember Christ asked for a drink of water? And do you remember him saying, if you knew who it was that asked you and what he had to give, you would ask him and he would give you a wellspring of water springing up into life everlasting. When we come within and rest here, we are resting at the well of our consciousness. And Christ says to you, ask. Ask, and that spirit within you will give unto you a wellspring springing up into life everlasting. You have a spiritual identity. God is spirit. You are spirit. And your life is spirit everlasting. We can do a lot less thought-taking now, and a lot more resting within. We can do a lot less pushing, forcing. Now we can do a lot more resting, witnessing, being a beholder. Let the human mind rest more and more. And have that mind in you, that spiritual consciousness, which was also in Christ Jesus. We are allowing that human life, the second chapter of Genesis, to dissolve as we exercise less and less of those human traits. We are making the inner shift back to the first chapter of Genesis, in which God itself is appearing as your life. And we do this by resting, relaxing, asking that this spirit within flow out, living life as a witness, as a beholder, reminding ourselves that it's not necessary to take thought. It's only necessary to stand ye still and see the salvation of spirit. Spirit functions through you when ye stand still, which means remembering many times during the day and night that you do not have to live your life. The responsibility is on spirit. The government is on spirit. It is your spiritual consciousness that gives you the kingdom. And we can see now that it is an experience right here on earth. Only now we are waking up to discover that what we thought was earth was simply a mirage. And in its place, spirit and spiritual consciousness is now appearing. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, we step out of that human mind and stop using it to run things. Now it becomes an avenue of awareness in which we become aware that spirit performs that which is appointed for us to do. That spirit goes before us and prepares a place. That spirit is living itself as itself infinitely. And we watch. We wait upon the Lord. We become beholders. As we approach the new year, let us have a new mind, not a thinking mind, but a state of awareness, a consciousness that is aware of incorporeal being, incorporeal God, incorporeal self called spirit. And let us practice taking several moments to turn within like this, like we have just done, until we get the feel of this, the weight of this, until we really do sense that presence. Let's stay with it just a little longer. And here in the silence, let spirit flow. I, the spirit within you, will restore the lost years of the locusts. So do not be concerned with any problems that the human has gotten you involved in, because I will restore the unity, the harmony that is your birthright, that is your inheritance, that is the Father's gift to you. And so, be not afraid. It is I. If you have accidentally harmed someone, by all means, let them know that you did not mean to do that, and that you will try to do better. But within yourself, let spirit take over. And you won't have to be a person that makes mistakes. You will be able to see that spirit really does perform that which is appointed for you to do. And now we can see that our opportunities were never out there in the world. Spirit is our opportunity, and therefore it is unlimited. And now we can see that our environment and our conditioning and our education has nothing at all to do with our life today. Because in the surrender of all that, the beliefs that went with it, we now can create this opening in which we witness the spirit manifesting itself. how much love do you have? Because all that the Father has is yours, you have infinite love to pour out. But because Spirit is living its life, it's not your decision where that love goes. That love is not to be individualized just to this person or that one, to your relative or your family. Spiritual consciousness is infinite love, and therefore it flows to each and every one, to anyone, equally. God is no respecter of persons, and if you have more love for one than another, then it is perhaps part of that second chapter of Genesis, in which we see some things as good and some as not so good. But without that judgment, stepping out of that mind, resting back in the Spirit, Spirit will love through you unconditionally to whomsoever will. And so the love flowing through you to your children will be precisely the same as the love flowing through you to your neighbor's children. If you really see that your neighbor's children are your children, if you really see that loving your neighbor as yourself means that your neighbor is yourself, then spiritual love flowing through you cannot be divided. Spiritual consciousness is not a divided consciousness. Therefore, the love that flows through you is unconditional. It's infinite love for your neighbor's children, infinite love for your children, infinite love for the enemy in a foreign land, and infinite love for your spouse or your partner. Spirit is undivided. Spiritual consciousness is no respecter of persons. And spiritual love is available equally to everyone. So making yourself one with spiritual consciousness makes you unlimited love for each and every one, equally, undivided, one. We cannot pray for God's grace to fall on our household. We should not even claim that God's grace is my sufficiency. Because God's grace is available, omnipresent. Therefore, God's grace is available to all. God's grace is a sufficiency, omnipresent, for each and every one. And therefore, God's grace is available to all households. Do you see how the human mind would divide God? let us begin a new step in seeing that God is omnipresent. And when we realize supply, it has to be an omnipresent supply, infinite supply, flowing now everywhere. When we realize life, it must be an infinite life, God's life, infinitely expressed. And when we recognize companionship, it must be also infinite and omnipresent, just as much love for a stranger on the other side of the world as for someone right here in my own house. We are putting off that humanhood, and we are accepting and embracing our spiritual consciousness, our spiritual selfhood. God is spirit, therefore I am spirit, and I must live as spirit, not as a human being. And spirit loves unconditionally everywhere. And spirit is supplying itself infinitely and omnipresent. And spirit is living itself as itself infinitely. This is your spiritual self, your spiritual identity. Yes, you can feel the presence of the living God within your consciousness, because your consciousness is infinite. Because your awareness is infinite. Because your awareness is God. If so be that the Spirit of God within you, then are you the offspring of God. And today in this meditation that we had together, the Spirit of God has dwelt within you. You have consciously been aware of that infinite Spirit. Therefore, you are now baptized in the Holy Spirit, the offspring of God. Joint heir with Christ to all that the Father has. What else could we ever desire? All things are contained right here within us. And seeking this Spirit, all things are added unto us. Now, the next step is to know this truth about our brothers and our sisters. And so when you get up from this meditation, as you come in contact with others today, know this truth about them. Look past them, above their heads or through, back behind their eyes, whatever works for you, and know that right there, I, the Spirit of God, am living. And though the mind has showed me this picture, I know thee, who thou art. Thou art the Christ, the living presence of God, the Spirit of God made manifest. It only takes a moment, but in fulfilling that moment, in realizing that truth, we set them free. and then we are free indeed. By setting them free, we free ourselves from our human opinions about them. Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Henceforth know we only the Spirit of God. Those are the directions, and that is what we will do. I thank you all for joining me in this meditation where we leave behind that second chapter of Genesis, that human mind and its concepts and opinions, and walk right here to the well of consciousness and rest on the side and allow that Spirit to take over, revealing itself, its omnipresence, its omniscience, and its omnipotence. We rest here and become aware of our spiritual self, that one who lives forever as the image and likeness of our real Father, God. And now we can open our eyes. And if you see something that looks material, perhaps a smile will come to your face, because you know now that it's only a material sense of that incorporeal spiritual self. If you see something that looks good, you can smile because you know, no, that's not good. In and of itself, it's nothing. But behind that is my spiritual consciousness, which is the only good there is. If you see something that looks not good or bad or even evil, you can smile at that too, because that's only the human mental concept of a spiritual universe. Remember, these are only mental concepts, material sense of a spiritual universe, because we have just determined in our meditation that spiritual consciousness is expressing itself. And so if I see something other than spiritual consciousness, that's the time to smile, blink my eyes, and remember, no, that's not there. That's that human being trying to have thoughts again, but I'm living by a different mode, by a different means. Spirit is living its life as itself infinitely, and I rest in that. I stand on that and watch as the evil picture, the bad picture, dissolves, and dissolves quite quickly. This is the new mode of living that we are living now, as the calendar changes from 2005 to 2006. We are now stepping into the spiritual dimension and living in it, on earth as it is in heaven, because heaven and earth are one. I and the Father are one. Your neighbor and yourself are one. There is only one, and I am that. And Spirit says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you. Infinite joy, eternal peace, I am.